You. My name is Sloan and I am an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another alcoholic's alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Phil and Dino, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and or understanding. Devra will read the preamble.
Hi, I'm Devra. I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Jamie will read the steps.
I'm an alcoholic. My name's Jamie. Hey, guys. One. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Adam will read the traditions.
My name's Adam, and I'm an alcoholic. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Lorena.
My name's Lorena, I'm an alcoholic. Wow, it really is different being up here. My sobriety date is May 28th, 2003. My sponsor is Stacy. I'm a member of the Atlanta Group, and I am a sponsor. I just want to welcome the newcomer. You're definitely in the right place. I can honestly say when I went to my first meeting, I wasn't so sure. I thought that I was fundamentally flawed, and I was not an alcoholic. I wasn't so sure. But I kept coming back and heard enough stories and identified and realized I was definitely in the right place. So what it was like. Alcohol was my best friend. It was with me through good times and bad, everywhere. I started drinking when I was 14 years old. Alcohol was always around my house. I had sips off my dad's beer since I was a little kid, he would leave a 40 around and I would take a sip and that was it. But my first real drunk was when I was 14. I can honestly say that it was for me a spiritual experience. Grew up in a place, like in a house that was really, there was constant stress. The cops were always coming to my house and, it was almost like, the guy who comes home, the businessman comes home after a long day at work during the 60s and like cracks open a whiskey. That's what I felt it was like for me, like a 14-year-old, but it was a 14-year-old kid and I was in the middle of the woods and it was a keg, but finally I could relax, that was it. And I was off to the races. And, that was pretty much my identity. I was like the party girl. I tried to pretend like, while everything was, falling apart at home, I tried to pretend like things were okay outside. I had a double life going on. I was the party girl. When I graduated from high school, I was voted class partier. So, like I said, that was my identity. It just kept going. I had some good times. I hung around with a lot of people who drank like I did, so it was kind of hard to tell if I had a problem, until I would black out and then wake up the next morning and, hear stories of what I'd done. But it didn't really make sense to me. I would think, well, these people are drinking the same way, and they don't seem to be having the same kind of problems that I do, so what gives? I don't want to talk too much about, give too much of a drunk log, but, things went from bad to worse, and I think what really hit me was, integrity. Integrity was a big thing for me. Unfortunately, when I drank, I didn't quite know what I was going to do. My walk wasn't going along with my talk, and that really upset me. For a controlled freak, when you drink and you don't know what's going to happen, that's kind of upsetting, right? So, I'm trying to think of my last drink. I'm just thinking about what happened with my last drink, and that was things were going from bad to worse in my work life and not so great in my personal life. And my boyfriend went out. I was living with him, and I didn't want to go out anymore, but didn't want to go out and go out drinking. So instead, I picked up a bottle of red and a bottle of white, and I took it home and started drinking by myself, and woke up the next morning, and I'd completely destroyed the place. And it's like, who got robbed? You know? And, you know, that's what the place looked like, totally ransacked. And I called up my friend, and she knew someone. I knew that she knew someone in the program. And this was the same friend that said to me, you scared me last night one time, so I knew who to call, right? So I called her up, and she put me in touch with someone, a colleague of ours who had been in the program. And this woman had said, you know, tell her to go down to this meeting. And I cannot believe it to this day that I was so desperate that I walked to this meeting, and it turned out it was a parents meeting. I'm not a parent, but it still worked. Two very nice women came up to me, and, you know, but unfortunately that was not the end of it. And I can tell you why. 5 minutes already. Okay. So I'll speed up and get to the solution and get to recovery. So you know, at first when I got sober, I thought that may not be my problem, you know, that alcohol might not be my problem, because for the first couple years, it was pretty dreadful. You know, it felt bad. And that actually led me to go out and experiment again. And that didn't work. And so I discovered, and what I was told was the only way is through, and that I couldn't go around it. And I tried to cheat the program. I really did. Like, I, you know, went to so many meetings, I did this, I did that, but I wasn't really digging in, and I wasn't getting entrenched. And, you know, the road that was leading me, when I drank, I knew where that road went. When I didn't drink, I didn't know where that road was going to go, and that still terrified me. But I had to keep going. And luckily I had people around me and a sponsor who, she really helped me. I mean, she had me call her every morning at 9:15 to set the tone for the day. And no matter how bad I felt, I just kept going. And I even had made bargains with myself, like, you know, if it's this bad tomorrow, then I'll kill myself. If it's this bad tomorrow, then I'll kill myself. And then the day would come and it would still be bad. But you know what? I kept going. And how it changed was that I took action. I took commitments. I went to the same meeting consistently so people knew who I was. Even when I didn't want to go there, and even when I thought everybody hated me, and even when I thought I didn't really identify with all of you, I still went. And I took a sponsorship commitment so that, you know, when I stood up, everybody could see who I was, and I'd say my name, they'd get to know me. And eventually I took a chairperson commitment, and I had to go out and venture out and find other people and experience new meetings to get people to that particular meeting. And I just started, you know, things started to change. And then eventually I hit a wall. And I needed a new sponsor. And a friend of mine, she and I decided that we were going to do this thing. We were going to buddy up, and we were going to try new meetings to kind of keep it fresh, you know? And it's funny to me, when I first got sober, for you to tell me that, I would have laughed at you. To be buddying up and checking out meetings and doing a meeting crawl in the same way as I did pub crawls, you know? So, and that's what we did. And eventually we came to the Atlanta group because somebody mentioned it, and we thought, you know, I'm not going to do any contempt prior to investigation, so I'm going to check it out, you know? So she and I came up here looking for sponsors, and I found myself a sponsor. So it was Heidi, and she got me... she really helped me a lot. I mean, I really needed some structure. You know, I need structure in everything else. I don't know why, you know, why wouldn't I need structure in, you know, my program? So she showed up. So I felt compelled to show up. You know, there was a definite time that we would meet and we would read together. And I thought, this woman's really putting some time in, you know. And I felt like I needed to do that too. And it was great and really helpful. And people said to me, you know, there's a change in you. I can see, you know, something's happening to you. And thank you. And eventually I started working with Stacy, and I'm now working with Stacy, and I have a sponsee, and I can tell you, I've got 1 minute, I can tell you that things have definitely changed. When I got sober, I didn't think that I wanted a relationship with my family. My career was the first thing in my mind. But I went to visit my family recently for an entire week. We had a great time. My dad and my stepmom and I went for an 8-hour trip down to Maryland, and we didn't kill each other. Nothing bad happened. I really enjoyed it. I cannot believe that. I really cannot. Like, and you know, if I were new and I were to hear this, I'd be like, you know, that's really not the first thing I want to take care of. You know what I mean? Like, that's not really. But it's amazing. It really is amazing that what has changed and how I feel about people and the relationships that I have with other people. And I think that's it for me. And thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Zach.
That's my dude. Hello, my name is Zach, and I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm an alcoholic, and now I believe in a power greater than myself, and it's restored me to sanity and fixed a lot of the other problems that I have in my life, so hey, here I am. You know, and that's thanks pretty much entirely in part to the people in this room right now. I got sober on December the 1st, 2007. I have a sponsor. His name is Roland. Maybe you've seen him or heard him or seen and heard him. I have a home group. It's the Atlantic Group. I have some service commitments here, which I'm very proud of, and I take very seriously, sometimes probably too seriously, but we'll work on that. And yeah, I was a really hopeless, miserable, drunk, and now I'm not. So what it was like. I started drinking when I was really young. I grew up in an alcoholic household. I had an alcoholic father, I had an alcoholic uncle, I had an alcoholic aunt. And, you know, when I tell my story, the more I say that, the more I realize that I say those things not because I want to make an excuse for why I became an alcoholic, because I believe I would have been an alcoholic either way. I always wanted more, I always had to have more, and I was never going to get enough. But when the time came that I knew that I needed help, and that I knew that I needed to reach out and ask somebody other than myself for some good advice, that I knew where that advice was going to come from. And it was going to be from one of those other sober alcoholics that were in my life already. I knew that this program worked because I'd seen it work in other people. So if you're one of those people that is having a hard time just showing up and being a power of example for other people in your life, and you're thinking, oh, maybe they're never going to get it, or you're thinking that, what do I have to do so that they do get it? You don't have to do anything but keep doing what you're doing. Because my dad never said a word to me about Alcoholics Anonymous. But the second that I reached out and asked for help, he was there to help me, and it's a really beautiful thing. And now we have a relationship, which is beyond my wildest dreams. So where was I? I just drank a lot, you know. I drank a lot, and it was a mess, and it was not a lot of fun. It started off like it was kind of cute. You know, I was 12 years old. I can still remember the first little blue glass that my dad gave me that had wine in it when I was a kid. Like, I think if you're not an alcoholic, you don't still remember, like, what that glass looked like and what shelf that glass is on in the hallway in your house. I mean, I know where it is right now. It's sitting there on the right second shelf down. But yeah, so I started drinking, and it was fine. You know, it was fun. It was something to do on the weekends. It was something to do when you had like a half a day of school. It was something to do before school. It didn't really matter. You know, you're cute, you're charming, you're still getting good grades. Nobody's going to bother you, right? So I just kind of kept going and kept going and kept going. And then you guys know what happens. It just starts to stink. It starts to get out of control. And then all of a sudden, it's not fun anymore. And a lot of fast forwarding, and I'm 23 years old, and I'm living in Manhattan, and I've graduated from college, and I've crossed all those boundaries that I've set for myself, you know, like, oh, well, I'm never going to be one of those people that does this, and then I'm never going to be one of those people that does this, and then I did all of those things. I did them all, and I did them in the sloppiest, messiest, most unattractive way that I possibly could have, you know, and that's what alcohol does to me, you know. I drink one, and I want a million. And anything that is going to get in the way of me and that next drink, it's going to have to go. You're going to have to, bye-bye, see ya, never again, thanks. So I'm living in New York, I'm 23 years old, and I've got everything that I've always wanted. I've got a loving family that supports me. I've got the career of my dreams. I've got jobs that, if you had told me that this was where I was going to be, I would have like slapped you in the face and told you you were crazy. I had absolutely everything that I wanted, you know? But I was miserable. Inside, I was so, so sad. Because no matter what you offered me, I just could not show up. You know, I could not show up. I could not stop drinking. I could not put the bottle down. I could not make the choice to not go out to the bar that night. I couldn't do it. And I tried so many different ways to not make that choice every night. But I did it anyway. And we're not talking about like one of those things where you have to wake up at 8 a.m. and then you leave at 7 p.m. and people are yelling at you all day. No, I'm talking about like they're going to call you and tell you to show up at noon, you know, and they're going to give you clothes and your breakfast is going to be waiting for you. Like, I couldn't even do that, you know. I was so miserable. And every single time I would get a job or I would have somewhere that I needed to be, I would be so afraid of showing up that all I would do is just drink up until the time that it was that I had to be there, right? And then I would show up and I would be hungover and I would be messy and I would feel horrible. And the whole time I would be thinking about the mistakes that I'd made before I got there and how I wasn't doing a good enough job while I was there, right? And then it would be over and I would be full of regret and I would be full of remorse. And I would just do the whole thing over again because I had to get rid of those feelings, right? So, here we are, 5 minutes. I woke up one day and I was on 14th Street and 8th Avenue and I left the apartment of somebody that I swore that I would never go to their apartment with. I don't know if that made sense, but I mean, you get it. You've all been there. So, I walked out onto 14th Street and 8th Avenue and I was completely lost. You know, you all live here, it's a grid, right? I was lost. I couldn't find where I was going. And I was late and my cell phone was dead because A, I didn't charge it. Hello, Roland has like drilled that into my head over the last year and some time that if you plug the thing in, it works for you. It's really great. Anyway, so I made a phone call to my uncle and I asked him for help. And I said, I have this long list of problems. I said, A, B, C, D, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Can you please help me? And my uncle said to me on the phone, he goes, okay, I'm going to help you. This was a Tuesday. I'm going to help you on Friday. All right, I'm going to take you with me up to my house, and we're gonna help you. But until then, I just want you to not have a drink. And I was like, are you listening to like anything that I said? I have all these problems, right? And you just want me to not have a drink, right? So, of course, between then and Friday, what did I do? I drank, you know. But when Friday came around, he took me to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I walked into the room, and I heard this guy, John Haney, speak. And John Haney is like this, he's this war-torn, old, kind of crusty dude, right? And I'm looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm going, well, there's absolutely nothing that we have in common, right? Like, he lives in California, he's done this, he's done that, you know? But then he opens his mouth, and he starts talking about what happened to him when he started drinking, right? And he said that he created this character. He created this person for himself, this other person that he could be to escape the fear, to escape the other people, so that he could show up for life and not have to be so afraid all the time. And I was like, oh, my... Like, how does he know that that's, like, my thing that I have, and he has it too? And I had a little bit of hope, right? I was like, oh, okay. Like, he gets what's going on with me, you know? And then I came to New York, and I started going to meetings here for the first week, and I was so afraid, and I was shaking, and I couldn't sleep, right? Maybe you guys can identify. I couldn't sleep. I was sweating. I was shaking. I was crying all the time. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was planning everything out down to the minute. I had all these plans for the next couple of months and how I was going to fix everything, and I was going to make it all work, right? And then I got to a Thursday night meeting of the Atlantic Group, and it was actually in this room that night, and Jeff was one of the co-chairs. I remember seeing his face and hearing his voice, and this guy JJ was there, and JJ was like really excited, and I got up to collect my chip, and he was like, yeah! And he started clapping and screaming for me, and I got up here, and all you were clapping, and I couldn't believe that all of you cared so much that I had just like not drank for a couple of days, you know, because it meant a lot to me, but it meant a lot to you too. And then JJ dragged me over to Roland. If you guys are here and you're new, okay, you're in the right spot. This is exactly where all the good stuff happens. Where you've been is where all the bad stuff happens. Trust me, we were all there, okay? But this is where all the good stuff starts to happen. Because you come here, and if you're lucky and if you're willing, you get a sponsor, right? And that sponsor is going to introduce you to this guy. And this guy is going to introduce you to that guy. And then everything's going to get a whole lot better. Seriously, it sounds like I just simplified it a whole lot, and I really did, but that's all you have to do, right, is be willing to make the effort, okay? I was so afraid of life. I was so miserable on a daily basis. There was absolutely nothing in my power that I could have done to stop what was going on in my life. And all I had to do was ask for help. That's all I had to do. And then when someone presented me with somebody, Roland, that was willing to help me and spend time with me and work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous with me, all I had to do was every time that little voice came up in my head and said, no, this guy's crazy, you don't want what he has, I had to say, shut up, leave me alone, I'm going to try it. You know, thank you. And so that's what I did. You know, I did my best. And here I am. And I'm really, really, really happy to be here. You know, I have friends in this room that are, those friendships mean more to me than friends that I've had for my entire life. And I'm so sincere about that. I mean, these guys and girls will show up for me whenever I need them, wherever I need them, however I need them to. You know, it's a really beautiful thing. And all I had to do was stop directing the show. You know, all I had to do was stop figuring out the problems. All I had to do was just ask for help, you know, and it says that you can have a life beyond your wildest dreams. You know, I've got some crazy dreams, you know. But the peace and the serenity that is inside of me when I wake up in the morning, right, that is so beyond my wildest dreams. So I want to thank all of you for all of your help, and I want to thank all of you for listening tonight, and I want to thank the Atlantic Group, and I love you all. Thank you very much.